With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
In game one, Lillard and McCollum weren't enough.
Blocked by Draymond. He knocks it away again. What a block.
In game two, no Durant, no problem.
Thompson, quick release. Splash.
Game three.
Curry backs up. Rainbow three. Swish.
And in game four, the Warriors went for the sweep.
Way downtown. Curry with a punctuation mark.
Congratulations to the Golden State Warriors from Dub Nation and all of us at 95.7. The game. It's time for Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
Ahead to Curry. Curry's got a breakaway and he dumps it with a right hand.
Here's Chris Townsend and Matt Steinmetz.
Well, it is over as the Golden State Warriors say bye-bye to the Portland Trailblazers with a 128-103 win. And as they said on TNT tonight, one, two, three, Cabo, which I thought was pretty funny. But the start of this game was so incredible. I mean, the fact that the Golden State Warriors came out and put up 45 points in the first quarter ties an NBA playoff record. They were 8 for 11 from three in the first quarter. It was ball game from there. The number is 888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. Matt Steinmetz, Chris Townsend. We're here at Pick 6 Sports Lounge in Pleasanton. It's a late one. We're going to be here for a while, so come down and see us because the bar's not closing down. We're not closing down. Joining us from our morning show here on 95.7 The Game, Joe Lowe and Dibs is arguably the greatest fullback in the history of professional football. We have Lorenzo Neal with us. Lo Neal, I apologize you're staying up this late, but always good to talk to you, buddy. How are you?
Hey, guys, I am absolutely great. I mean, I was trying to stay awake after watching the Harlem Globetrotters. I mean, the Dubs, that is. Was that just not amazing? Seeing Draymond hit, go five from eight from the line, three from hitting the three-pointer, the three ball was falling, Steph. They just motorboated him. That game was over before it started, guys.
Hey, Lo, are you able to tell when a team or an opponent is, I never use the word quit, but demoralized to the point where you can tell they can't beat you?
Oh, yeah, no question. You've been in games and you go into a game, and right after the first quarter, you can just understand that they're just holding on, and they understood. You got to realize that game three, they gave it everything they had. They were up by 17, 14, and just the Warriors came storming back. It's just too much for them. They tried. They wanted the best backcourts, but they're just too little, too late. And you just watch the Warriors just impose their will. And the good thing about it, when you get them down, you see the Warriors, they got them down tonight and just continue to put their foot on their throat and gave them no life. And it was just a total domination from start to finish. But you could. Portland was going to – you knew that they were going to try to give you everything. Rip City was going to try to give you everything that they had. You know, Dame wanted to show, play well at home. But just the Dubs, man, they're just too much. They play defense, the way they crank up their defense, guys in the passing lane, they're running McGee, all the different things that this team can do. And then when you got Draymond going for 20-some points, that just spells disaster for another team.
What is that like as a professional athlete? Because your whole life has been about success. You're about competing. I mean, this is the playoffs. But, Lo, I mean, you had to know if you're a trailblazer – you had no shot tonight from the get-go, and then you're basically getting your you-know-what handed to you. I don't know how many times that happened to you in football, but what is it like when you just know, we've got no shot against these guys?
Oh, guys, what do you mean you don't know if that happened to me? I played for the Cincinnati Bengals, yeah. guys, we went 2-14. I played for the Saints where, hell, Jim Moore quit. he's talking about playoffs. Jim Ward came in one day and said, hey, I'm done. I'm not the head coach. Had a breakdown and just left. So I've been on teams where the fans came to the stadium in their bags. So even though I think when you're an athlete, though, and you know you're a grown man playing a kid's game, getting a king's ransom, you know that one thing, your name is on your work. And just with my parents always talk about, hey, look, no matter what you do, you give it your all. And so you win battles like that, just individual, and you look at their backcourt, you see CJ, and you see some of these guys, the way that they play, no matter what, even in losing, even when they're losing, they still cream rises to the top. And you look at a guy, you know, look no further when you look at OKC. Westbrook, you know, he's outmanned by the Rockets, but you still see this guy able to take his level no matter what, even when their team's getting dominated. Certain players, certain guys, even when you're outmanned, by far as the team, right, great players still compete.
Kalena Azubuike is going to join you tomorrow from 7 to 8 in the morning. Who else you guys got tomorrow morning?
Well, shoot, Clint is just the main wrap-up. You know, we got Clint up from 7, 8 o'clock. He's going to talk all dubs, so everyone make sure you call in. We're going to have a session for Clint. Ask Clint anything you want. I can't wait to ask him a lot of questions. We're going to ask him, how's the health of Kerr? You know, what do you think about this team? What did he think about KD? There's just so many questions, so definitely tune in tomorrow from 6 to 10, 95.7 The Game. Can't wait to get on the show tomorrow and bring it, guys.
Straight greatness from Lemoore, California, the greatest blocking fullback in the history of professional football. All right, buddy, I will see you down there. Well, actually, probably we'll see you maybe Thursday night for the draft.
Sounds good, guys. Let's get crazy, crazy, crazy. Have a cocktail for me, guys.
He's the best, Lorenzo Neal. Seriously, when I say that, you know, because the problem is Larry Zonka, Franco Harris – really were running backs, but they're listed as fullbacks. But in the traditional sense of a blocking fullback, Lorenzo Neal, the guy we have on our station, is probably the greatest to have ever played at the position. He's the guy.
You would think. He's one of the best. That's why we have him on, that's for sure.
I mean, so many of the – you talk about running backs had their career years behind him. Always love having Lorenzo Neal on. And that's kind of, you know, an interesting thing when you look at here these guys are. I mean, do you think Portland had hope tonight going into this game? And what are you thinking? I mean, you've covered – Matt Simons has covered the NBA for so many years. We want to hear from you at 888-957-9570. I mean, what do you think that was like tonight for them going into the game? We're going to get into the blitzkrieg that happened to them. But what do you think it was like for them going into this game?
I think they went into this game with good intentions. And they're a young team. They're a competitive team. That backcourt's got a lot of pride. I thought they were going to come out and play extremely hard, and I did think they came out, but they weren't in control of the night. The Warriors were in control of the night. So I think once, obviously, the Warriors got up, and I want to say it was 28-5 at one point. It might have even gotten worse than that. It was pretty much over at that point. You're not going to come back from 25 down against the Warriors. And the only thing that's left to do really there as a professional is just keep playing hard. And I thought they kept playing hard. They were just overmatched tonight. And the reality of the situation is they got two big-time players on that team, McCollum and Damian Lillard. And the Warriors have, I'd say, five big-time players on their team if you make Iguodala the fifth player. So they were overmatched all series, and I thought they'd win one game. The Warriors ended up sweeping, and it's not really that surprising.
888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. The Golden State Warriors with the win tonight over the Portland Trail Blazers. The series is over. 128-103. We're taking your phone calls next right here. Warriors wrap-up on the home of the Golden State Warriors. That's 95.7 The Game.
Screen by Pachulia, goes corner, his pass deflected away behind Zaza, grabbed by Harkless, hits a foot race, goes behind the back, goes up, blocked by Durant from behind. He ran him down and swatted the ball away. Curry left side from Thompson, three ball good right in front of the Warrior bench. 5-point swing just like that.
Now back to Towney and Steiny on 95.7 The Game.
You know, it's interesting looking at the Portland Trail Blazers. I just looked up birthdays. And before the start of next year, Damian Lillard will be 27 years old. McCollum will be 26. And you just wonder, because if I'm them and I'm looking at this Golden State Warriors team, this Golden State Warriors team's not going anywhere anytime soon, right? I mean, this is going to be a team that, you know, is going to be dominating for years to come. Sometimes you just come into the league, as we saw Gary Payton tonight. He's in the, what is it called, Area 21 or whatever it is with
Right, with Garnett.
With Garnett. I mean, you think about Barkley, you think about Karl Malone and Stockton. Sometimes, and you can go back to the Celtics when they won all those titles, what, 11 and 13 years, whatever it is. Sometimes you come into the NBA at the wrong time, and you're not able to win a title. I mean, for this, they're not that young anymore, especially going into next year.
Well, the reason they're a little older than you think is because both of those players, McCollum and Lillard, played 4 years of college. So they actually came into the league at 22 or so rather than 19 or 20 like a lot of the players who are either one and done or who'd come out before the rule changed and when they allowed younger players in the NBA. As for are the Warriors going anywhere? No, it doesn't look like they are right now. Doesn't look like they're going to lose very much in this postseason. Looks like they're going to be a beast for the next two or three years, but I always caution, you just never know. Every year is going to present some challenges. Every offseason is going to present some challenges. This offseason, obviously, they're going to re-sign Curry. They're going to re-sign Durant, or they're certainly going to try to, and they probably will. But that's going to leave Iguodala and Livingston, their status uncertain. And, yes, the core will likely remain together, but can you surround them with the right pieces? It's probably a lot easier to surround the Warriors' core with the right pieces than any other team in the league, no doubt. But you just never know. You can't count on anything. I mean, look at what just happened to Steve Kerr. I mean, you just never know what may be coming down the road. So you just have to really appreciate what's going on now and not assume that it's going to go on until 2020.
The number is 888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. The Golden State Warriors are now 41-4. Without Steve Kerr as their head coach, regular season, postseason. I mean, I saw that and I was like, wow. And you think about Kevin Durant, the luxury that you have as a basketball team. Kevin Durant is one of the true great talents in the history of the game. The fact that you can play him, you cannot play him, I don't think it really matters. If he wouldn't have played tonight, they're still going to win tonight. You're going to sweep a team. I mean, Matt, that's just, like, historically crazy to think of somebody. Like, Kevin Durant being out should have meant the Portland Trailblazers were smelling blood in the water, right? And the fact that Durant plays, he didn't play, doesn't matter.
I mean, that's one of the reasons they got Durant. They got Durant because they felt that if they were to have lost to Steph Curry, they were done. Or if they were to be even, you know, if you take one of those four players off the Warriors, who knows how good the Golden State Warriors are. So they're built right now where they can sustain an injury to one of their four players because they have three other great players regardless. It just so happens that the player who was hurt the last 20 or so games was Durant, the player who wasn't on the team last year. But they have so much firepower, and they can withstand injury. They're doing it right now. They did it at the end of the season, and even their coach now is not a part of the team, which makes them they're going through a little adversity here, and they're still coming out smelling like a rose.
Yeah, he's a real special guy, but I got a bad feeling. I mean, he has something that is just not, it's tough to diagnose, to go in, this is how we'll fix it, this is what we'll do. I mean, the back surgery was in 2015, and you start dealing with leakage, spinal fluid leakage, and you just, you know, I feel bad for him. Because can you imagine what this must be like to not be there, to not be there with his team, to not be there in the postseason, the pain he must be in that's affecting his everyday life. I mean, to not be there on the bench for a postseason game and two straight, and now the talk that he can miss this entire postseason, my God, I can't – it's just – it's really sad to where you're seeing the entire NBA, whether it was the Portland Trailblazers sending a message to Steve, LeBron James sent a message to Steve Kerr. I mean, this is sad.
Well, what's really a shame is that he – I don't get the sense he's really had a chance to enjoy the last 2 years. Obviously, he won a title that first year, but even during last year's regular season, that was the height of it. When the Warriors were going for 73 wins, that was the height of the Warriors' hysteria. I thought it was even bigger than when they won the title. Now, obviously, it was a huge letdown when they lost Game 7, but what I'm getting at is that Kerr was in pain, and Kerr missed the first 43 games of the year, and even when he came back, he wasn't totally himself, clearly. And what's happened recently proves that. So that's what I feel bad for him for, is that this last 2 years has been incredibly special for everybody in and around the Warriors, in their organization, in their fan base. And you get the feeling that Steve Kerr, even though he's in the middle of it, is actually on the outside of it when it comes to being able to enjoy it. That's what I think is the real, real sad part of this story.
All right, 888-957-9570. It's time to hear from the fans. Brought to you by Nations Giant Hamburgers. Keep it real. Make it Nations. Let's go to Dave all the way up in Portland. Dave, are you our listener who's been going to these games up there for the playoffs?
Oh, you know it, man. I went to the last couple games. It was awesome. You know, it's all set to try to break it down with you guys, but then you go down that path of Kerr's health, and it seems like such a big deal. It's hard to let that go by, man. That's an intense topic right there.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll steer you in the right direction. Steve Kerr is the kind of gentleman who would tell us, guys, talk about the game. I'm all right. There are people worse off than me. So talk about the game.
Well,
so there you go.
Let's just hope he comes back.
Absolutely.
It has an ominous feeling, but I sure am hoping he can pull it off.
Me too.
As far as being in the, you know, the hostile environment tonight, a ton of Dubs fans in there, first of all. It's crazy Dubs all around that place. And, you know, after the first 4 minutes of the game, you kind of get that feeling like, oh, you know, Portland's going into the huddle and they're doing that Charles Barkley thing, you know, 1-2-3 Cancun, you know?
Well, I'm gonna give the Blazers some credit. I do think they never gave up. I think there's a big difference between giving up and just being a little bit overmatched, and I thought that was the case as the series wore on. But those guys, they play hard. Terry Stotts has them playing hard. They got nothing to be ashamed of.
No, I agree with you there. The positive takeaways for the Warriors, though, on a more serious note, KD kind of coming back and looking kind of like the same player, really. You know, hitting those shots like we know he can and just looking like the kind of guy, if you're a team facing the Warriors, you're worried about KD just like there was no injury, right?
Right, no doubt about it.
And then how about the defense tonight? Also looked like it suddenly solidified a little bit more. And Curry also showed exactly how he can play when he's really on. And any team is just, you know, just totally stricken by that, right? You cannot stop that crazy shooting.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was brilliant tonight. It was really kind of the signature quarter, I think, for the Warriors, that first quarter. Now, I know they scored 50 points against the Clippers at home in the third quarter of a game, but the stakes were obviously higher in this one because of the playoffs. And to come out in a game four, when you know Portland's going to at least come at you in that first quarter, and to just go out there and take it to them like that, I mean, that's the sign of a pretty impressive basketball team that knows what it wants to accomplish, knows how to go about accomplishing it, and then they do it. And they've got veterans, and now they've got some young players helping in terms of McCaw and Ian Clark. And I realize JaVale McGee's not exactly young, but he's certainly got youthful energy. This team right now seems like they've got it all.
And you start looking at what they did from three-point range. Oh, my God.
I purposely didn't look at any stats tonight. Once it got to 30-5 or 28-5, I said, you know what? I'm not going to look at a box score tonight. Not even now. I haven't looked at a box score after a game. And one of the things I like to do, if you want to play this game with me, is you can start asking me what players did, and I'll try to tell you from my memory. It won't be exact, but the numbers don't matter tonight. Everybody played well for the Warriors for the most part, and the Blazers were overmatched.
Yeah, this is the – I always like to keep notes throughout the game.
Sure.
I pretty much stopped after the first quarter.
I mean, there was no real reason to worry about any kind of comeback. Portland, I think, got it to, oh boy, I want to say 18 at one point in the second quarter, but that was it. The second half, there was not one run. In fact, the Warriors came out and scored the first, I think, 8 points of the third quarter to bump it up to over 30.
How good do you think Portland's a good team?
That's actually a really good question. I'm going to answer it after the break.
Look at you.
Because it's complex.
We're taking your phone calls at 888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. Warriors, take care of the Trailblazers. They're moving on, obviously, with a 128-103 win. It's very complex here at 95.7 The
Absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely.
We will talk about the Trailblazers and your phone calls right here on 95.7 The Game.
Cruising down the left wing, puts a right-hand dribble, puts his back to the basket, finds Curry off a down screen, another three for Steph is good. Curry with his third triple of the quarter, and it's 35-9. Curry has six, Thompson has nine, Durant has seven.
Now back to Towney and Steiny on 95.7 The Game.
35-9 on your home floor. 888-957-9570. So I asked you the question. You said it was a complex answer. Are the Trailblazers a good team or not?
I don't know. And the reason I say that is because we didn't see the Portland Trailblazers in this series. They were a team that was struggling. They acquired Nurkic. And things changed dramatically for them. They had a very good record. They turned everything around when he came and joined the team. They made it to 500, even though they were 13 under at one point. And then he got
finished
hurt.
Hot. They finished hot.
They were the second hottest team in the NBA after the Warriors. Well, technically the Clippers won seven in a row going in. But anyway, they were very good going into the postseason. So they're clearly a different team with Nurkic. They're still at least one player short. They need a legitimate front court. They need a forward or a power forward, a small forward or power forward who can score, who's really talented. They need one more really good player, even if Nurkic is the real deal. But I think they're going to be better now that they made the trade Plumlee for Nurkic. Plus, they added a draft pick. They got three picks in the first round. I think they're I would take being Portland as opposed to a lot of other teams. Let's put it that way.
They have the highest payroll in the NBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously,
they do. They're not going to win it in a few years, though.
Their owner is the richest owner in the NBA,
sure,
Paul Allen. So they're going to be okay. And Paul Allen teams at times can not worry about certain things that other teams. But, yeah, they've got a big payroll. But one of the reasons why what's so interesting is you look at the plus-minus tonight. Oh, my God, Matt. I mean, you just go down the line, they're starters. You're looking at minus 27, minus 13, minus 14, minus 29, minus 31. Just a complete domination by the Golden State Warriors. All right, 888-957-9570. Let's go to Dre in Central California. Welcome to Warriors Wrap-Up.
County Steiny. Thanks for taking my call, fellas. Dream
no problem.
On this series.
Hey, by the way, we had your fellow Lorenzo Neal from Lemoore, California.
The beast from Lorenzo. The best running back ever. Hey, let me ask you something. You went to San Jose State, right?
Correct.
Who was the best running back ever to come out of San Jose State?
Probably Johnny Johnson.
That would be Gerald Thomas from Hanford, California.
I'd take Johnny Johnson, but, yeah, I hear ya.
Gerald Thomas, like, had 150 yards one night against the Rams. Against Dallas, man, against the Rams.
Johnny went for over 1,000 yards in the NFL, but I hear you. Go ahead.
You trump me. Okay. Draymond, you guys, he led everybody with blocks this series. He led the whole NBA. He's hitting his threes. I can't see him keeping up this three affair for the whole playoffs. But if he does, I just can't see nobody beat him. I got a dumb question for you guys. Do the Warriors have to play the winner of the Jazz, or do they play the lowest seed, say Memphis wins?
No, they don't reseed in the NBA. They're going to play the winner of the Jazz Clippers series regardless of what happens with any other series. So, yeah, they're locked in. The bracket stays the same.
Okay. So, with Griffin gone, do you guys – I see the Jazz winning that. How about you?
Well, the Clippers over the past several years have owned the Jazz, believe it or not. And the Clippers still have home court because they went in and won a game. I got to tell you, Dre, I do not want to see the Clippers win the series because they have no chance against the Warriors without Blake Griffin. So give me the Utah Jazz fully healthy and let them take their shot at the Warriors. I just can't see the Clippers doing it. Now, the problem is the Clippers match up pretty well with the Jazz, even without Blake Griffin. So they may end up winning that series and giving a little bit of a gift to the Golden State Warriors by playing them injury-plagued in the second round without Blake Griffin.
Well, myself, I'd like to see the Clippers just so we can beat them down again. I'd like to see them have a 7-game series so the Warriors will get some more rest. And, hey, if it's an easy path, you got to take whatever. Just
yeah.
Go Warriors. Thanks for
Thanks a lot,
call,
Trey. Fella. Appreciate it.
Yeah, the whole Clipper deal, they own the Clippers. Absolutely own the Clippers.
They do own the Clippers. But I really think it's too bad that Griffin's out, because I think if Blake Griffin – were to be held, well, you know, what's the point?
Doesn't
of
matter.
Talking about
yeah,
it. No. I what I'm saying is I don't think the Warriors would have swept a Clippers team that's fully healthy. I think the Clippers would have won a game in that series. I think it would have been if the Clippers were at full strength, it would have been a great series to watch. And the reason is because the Clippers would have been, you know, it's their last stand. It's the Clippers' last stand. If they don't make something happen, there's a good chance that team's going to be broken up.
But so, wouldn't you say this, though? When the Warriors see that team, like you have the –
Well,
you,
no doubt, but what
they
I'm saying
like
is –
They don't like the Clippers. They like right. kicking the crap. Like, if that evil eye comes out, that red ass comes out in the Warriors where they have a bunch of nice guys, the Clippers bring out something different than the Golden State Warriors, where they don't like the, they really don't like these guys, and they like pounding them. So how good of a series, Blake Griffin or not?
Well, like I said, I think it would have been a better series than people think, just because, like I said, the Clippers were up against it, their backs were against the wall. Not just would their season be over, but there's a good chance that...
Who they are, their core.
Yeah, they're probably going to blow that up. So we either would have seen the demise of the Clippers or we would have seen a huge upset. But even if we saw what was likely to happen, which would have been the demise of the Clippers, I just can't imagine the Clippers would go on or go out of the playoffs being knocked out by the Warriors without kicking and screaming, if you know what I mean. And I think the series would have gotten very physical. I think it would have gotten really chippy. Because, again, keep in mind, think about how desperate the Clippers would have been, and had the Warriors been
well,
on the verge of putting
them. Well, we still have the potential.
Yeah, but it's not going to be as – it's just not going to be as compelling without Blake Griffin. Because,
yeah.
Blake, to me, Blake Griffin and Draymond Green are at the center of it, and then it's Paul and Steph Curry. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I'd like to see Utah win now just because I think they got a style that can make the Warriors, you know, adjust a little bit. The scores are a little lower against the Utah Jazz. But, again, it's just tough to see Golden State losing four games to anybody at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if Golden State just rolls through this, how you feeling every organization?
You feel like you better get better. I mean, you absolutely better get better.
But the NBA just doesn't work that way. It's not that easy.
Well,
it's so about the great players, and it's just, if you know Steph Curry, as you said, sign a long-term deal. Kevin Durant signs a long-term deal. You got Draymond locked up. You got Clay. I mean, how are you going to feel all these teams in the Western Conference? Yeah, you got to get better. What the hell do you do?
I mean, you got to get better within your organization. You got to try to make an acquisition or two outside of your organization. I mean, the bottom line is there's not going to be many teams that even have an opportunity to leapfrog the Golden State Warriors. But also, you got to keep in mind that the Warriors got to this point by drafting players that turned out to be great. So we're going to watch the NBA draft at some point down the line, and we're going to hear names of players drafted, and we're not going to think twice about it, just like nobody thought twice when the Warriors drafted Klay Thompson or when the Warriors drafted Draymond Green. But what you hope is 2 years later, you say, wow, we got some players here, we got a nice core, and maybe we can make a jump to the next level.
We always talk about in sports how it's a copycat league. I just don't see how you can copy what the Golden State Warriors have done, and it's because of what you just said. You know, Klay Thompson, if you redrafted all the Golden State Warriors, Draymond Green's obviously not going in the second round. Klay's not going 11th. I mean, it's like they drafted these guys who clearly outperformed where they were drafted, and it's unheard of to hit on that many guys. You can even throw Harrison Barnes in there and Festus Ezeli, guys that are no longer with the Warriors. It's amazing the run that they had with bringing in their own guys. And then you had Kevin Durant to all of that, which is just, you can't replicate this.
No, you can't. But keep in mind, the Los Angeles Lakers were a team that was able to acquire big-time free agents. You just never know. You never know. You know, Blake Griffin goes to Oklahoma City. Does that change the dynamic? No, it's easy to say no, but it might. Blake Griffin goes to Oklahoma City. The Warriors have somebody injured next year. Who knows? I mean, there's so many things that can happen. I mean, if you're asking me right now, are the Warriors going to win three titles in a row? I'd say no. I would bet against that. I would probably bet against them to win back-to-back, to tell you the truth, just because it's so difficult. So I realize it's easy to look at this team right now and say it's going to last forever, but it's not. It's not.
No, it doesn't last forever.
Nope.
Even Michael Jordan went and played minor league baseball. I mean, you want to talk about you never know? Who would have ever thought Michael Jordan would ever be on the Barons and be playing for the Chicago White Sox? All right, 888-957-9570. We're taking your phone calls. Warriors win 128-103. We're here at Pick 6 Sports Lounge in Pleasanton, and we're going to be here for a while. If you're driving around, come by and see us. And also, we're going to hear from Steph Curry as we roll on right here. Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game.
And Pachulia with the rebound. Finds Curry middle of the floor. Down the lane. Throws right wing. Durant steps into a three, and it's good. Kevin Durant from the right wing.
Yeah, we all thinking about Coach and, you know, wishing that he gets better. And you could tell he's kind of forcing his way to be around. And, you know, he wants to be around the team. But you could tell he's still hurting a bit. This is how unselfish he is. And just, you know, he always thinks about the group. I think he should be a little bit more selfish with his time and his, you know, in his body, but, you know, he wants to be around the group, and glad, you know, we got to hear his voice in the locker room and practice and stuff like that. So we're just hoping that he gets better, praying that he gets better, and, you know, we all got his back. But Coach Brown and the rest of the coaching staff did a great job in filling in for him.
Now back to Towney and Steiny on 95.7 The Game.
How many times have we seen something like this? like in the history, championship run, coach down, health-wise?
Jeez. I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
Well, Bruce Bochy has dealt with some health things the past couple of years, but has not kept him out for an extended period of time. I mean, 43 games last year. I mean, it's just.
What about the Colts head coach? Wasn't there something with him? The Indianapolis Colts head coach?
Chuck Pagano had cancer, yes. I mean, it's really, really sad. We're talking about a back surgery. We're talking about these back surgeries happened, what, in 2015?
Exactly. Yeah. And
he's come out and said, hey, don't ever have back surgery.
I know. I saw that.
God.
I saw that. Crazy. It's just crazy, and it's really too bad. I'm glad at least he's, you know, made the trip to Portland, which means something, I think, positive at least. I do think, though, that the mere fact that he's not coaching or hasn't coached these last two games is an indication that this really isn't good.
Oh, it speaks volumes. Yeah. Let's go to Jimmy in Walnut Creek. Jimmy, welcome to Warriors Wrap Up.
How you doing? I'm looking for some guys, experts on basketball. So I got a question for you. My buddies and I, there's four of us watching all the games, and we're going 2-2 on the decision. So say LeBron's out of the way, and whoever you think, and you've got the next pick, and you've got Kawhi Leonard or Draymond Green. Who is your pick between those two? And I'll take it off the air, but we'll just keep going at it. And I love Draymond because I'm a Warrior fan. But I just think Kawhi gives you both a little, you know, a lot better offense.
So you're saying I got to make a selection between
draft.
Kawhi Leonard and Draymond Green?
Yeah.
I'll take Kawhi Leonard.
Now, both of them, you think of Kawhi coming out of San Diego State, Draymond Green coming out of Michigan State. Once again, guys that where they were drafted would be drafted way higher than they were before, right?
Sure.
And under Steve Fisher, Kawhi was really good for the Aztecs and Steve Fisher.
But he's gotten so – both the
offensively, he's gotten way better.
Yeah, no doubt. And the common thread between both those players is how much they've improved since they've come into the league.
They both fantastic defensively.
Yeah. And that's why I have to, at the end of the day, take Kawhi Leonard because he's a better offensive player than Draymond Green.
Well, you're talking about starting a team, essentially, when you do that, right? I mean, it's like,
yeah.
I mean, certain players fit teams certain ways, and obviously what Draymond does with this team makes him just, oh, my God, who he is as a player and how he affects this organization.
Right.
But if you're getting into that conversation, you're saying, I got one guy – I'm drafting him, and I'm building everything around this guy.
Right. Yeah, and I
– you don't lose either way.
Right. No, you don't. But Kawhi Leonard's offensive game is it's significantly better than Draymond Green's defense might be better than Kawhi Leonard, if you know
what
I mean.
Well, how about this? Were you able to watch the last game between Memphis and
– Yeah, I've seen a lot of that series, sure.
Did you watch the last game, though?
What are you looking at specifically? I can't.
Well, all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but you're now seeing that he is truly the go-to offensive option.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
He wasn't even that guy in college.
Oh, no. He hasn't been that guy most of his career up until maybe this year and maybe the last year. He's really, I'd say the last year and a half, mostly since Duncan retired. And I realize Duncan played last year, but he played very little. But, yeah, this has definitely been emerging. His offense has been emerging over the last 2 years, no doubt about it. And it's on a level this year that it's never seen before.
Because you'll see guys who do it in college, get to the NBA, they don't do it, but then all of a sudden it progresses and they get to it. When he was with the Aztecs, I mean, he was known as a great athlete, great defender.
Right.
Could light it up a little bit, but into games going, he's the guy that has to have the ball. He's the guy that's going to make the key shots like he did against Memphis. He wasn't that guy coming out of San Diego State.
No, he wasn't. He was not highly touted. In fact, he was an unknown. He was an unknown player out of a small school. And He just happened to get drafted by the San Antonio Spurs. And like you have to do in the NBA, you have to improve. And few people have improved as much as him over the course of his career.
Let's go to Mark in Hawaii. You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, guys. Aloha.
Hey,
aloha.
How you doing, man?
Yeah, you know, it's great the Warriors won. I mean, I go way back. When I was a small kid, I lived in Walnut Creek, California, up until age 12.
Nice.
And my father agreed. Go ahead.
No, I said nice. Go ahead.
My father took me to see a lot of games. You know, my teams are all Bay Area because of my father, who just passed away a couple weeks ago. But I saw Will Chamberlain play for the Warriors, and a lot of people that I know in Hawaii can't say that because, unfortunately, Hawaii is Lakerville, but mm-hmm. It's changing. It's changing. I see people with Warrior jerseys all the time now, but I have one problem. I'm going to say this quick, is I can't get your guys' stream. When the NBA League audio pass cuts out, you guys have this message saying that we're not in the 75-mile radius. And, you know, I'm only listening to you because I'm on the phone. I can't even get your broadcast because it's being blacked out to Hawaii. So if you guys can help me with that.
Let me ask around a little bit because I know we had some issues with the app early in the season. I thought they got mostly taken care of. But I'll try to help you down in Hawaii because let me tell you, nobody likes Hawaii more
station.
Than me. Nobody.
I love your station, you know. I used to listen to the other one.
Whoa! What island are you on?
You guys got them now. So, I actually stay up in the early morning and listen to your morning show because I want to hear all the highlights and everything. And you guys do a fantastic job.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. You know, it's funny. He brought up how Hawaii's Lakers country. The Warriors used to open up against the Lakers in the preseason. They would
play
two games in Hawaii against the Warriors. And it was a total Lakers crowd, 90-95% Lakers. But I keep
hearing.
Would
you go do that?
Would I do what? Yeah,
cover that?
Oh, yeah, we cover the preseason games for sure. Because.
So you got a free trip to Hawaii every year?
Yeah, basically.
Good for you?
Yeah. I mean, not that anybody's going to believe me, but I had to work during those times. Point is, it's definitely turned into a Warriors place, no doubt about it.
888-957-9570. We'll take your phone calls, and we'll hear from Steph Curry next right here on 95.7 The Game.
We'll take it to midcourt and put on the brakes. The Warriors start to celebrate. Their fans who are here tonight start to cheer as Clark will dribble this one out. And for the fourth time in the last five seasons, the Golden State Warriors will move on to round number two. And a date in the Western Conference semifinals.
Now back to Towney and Steiny on 95.7 The Game.
Not a lot of time left. Let's hear from Steph Curry after the game as the Warriors win, and they win this series 4-0 against the Trailblazers.
Why were you guys so focused tonight, and why do you think it clicked early?
There's a sense of urgency. Obviously, opportunity to close a series out, and there's a nice energy to us before the game, kind of loose but focused, and it showed in the first 6 minutes that we could hopefully, you know, establish ourselves, continue the momentum that we built in the series, and our defensive intensity and focus was the reason that we got it done tonight. In that first, we didn't let them score for a while, and we turned our defense into offense. And it was a fun way to play and, close out the series.
Malika Andrews, Associated Press. Steph, can you talk a little bit about what having Kevin Durant back on the floor meant to you guys and how that affected your play?
He's obviously a big part of what we do, and when we can have everybody back and effective on the floor, we're obviously a better team, and we needed that kind of his presence as we go through the playoffs for him to get a rhythm, get his feet underneath him. He's kind of been in and out of the lineup last month and a half, so I know it's big for him to get out there and you know, show some energy for us and feel good about his body. And the rest of the play kind of took care of itself.
Ethan Kraus, ESPN. Steph, obviously you gave the game ball to Steve after game three. I'm wondering, did he talk to you guys before the game or after this game?
He mentioned something after tonight about where we are in our journey. One series down and obviously playing, a great Portland team who had an amazing season and finished out the regular season strong to even just get in the playoffs, and commended them on what they were about. Us taking care of our responsibilities in this series and doing what we did. And now we have a little bit of rest and looking forward to, figuring out who we're going to play next round. But just understand the perspective of what we've accomplished, but what we have in front of us. And this is just one step in the journey.
On the right. Anthony Slater, Barry News Group. Another of those clips surfaced of you shooting the three and turning way before it even went in. I mean, are you 100% when you release those threes that are going in? Or are you threes that are going in? Or are you when you're looking?
The way that we played tonight on both ends of the floor is a great recipe for success, down the road. Moving the ball, swarming on defense, turning defense into easy offense, and using all the talent that we have on the floor.
Was the opportunity for rest a consideration?
Yes. It's, we understand where the other series is and, don't know how long that'll go. So when you can take care of your business, that's the only thing you can control, really. And it was good for us to kind of come out and close it out tonight and now, look forward to taking advantage of the schedule that we have.
Scott Osler, San Francisco Chronicle. Steph, when you came down in the first quarter and took that, 25-foot pull-up and transition way behind the arc, is there something a statement to that other than just letting it fly?
I don't know which one.
It was on a break and you pulled up just beyond the circle.
No, it's just a read. I know what you're talking about. It's just a read where you see the defense retreating. We had scored, maybe two or three straight possessions and got two or three straight stops. So it was kind of one of those. I hadn't made any shots, but like a heat check type of situation. And you just have confidence to let it go. Nothing more to that, really.
All right.
Steph, this is from Tencent. Coach Stutz just mentioned you guys probably even better than the last season. Even last season, you guys 73 wins or whatever. Do you feel the same way? You guys are even better than the last season?
We're more experienced, and we have a different roster, obviously, but the things that we do well, when we are clicking, we're a powerful team. So hopefully that shows up, every series that we play, and put ourselves in great chance to realize a goal down the stretch of this playoff. So, we're very confident about who we are and how we're going to be successful.
There you heard Steph Curry after the win. And I mean, you win four games, and there you go.
This is such business for them right now, you can tell. It's not like, they're not having fun and they're all serious. It's just, this is the time of the year that they've been waiting all year for. We talked about how there seemed to be a little bit of a malaise in the middle of the season, and I think it was because the Golden State Warriors knew they had to get through the next two or three months to get to this point. I think they're finally at this point where they've always wanted to get to, and they're taking advantage of it. They're not messing around. They are still remembering what happened last year, I believe, and I think that's what they're using for motivation, and I think they're going to use it all postseason.
Get the brooms out. It's a sweep. The Warriors win 4-0 over the Portland Trailblazers with the win 128-103 in Game 4. Who knows when we'll be back, Matt? But
Sunday or Tuesday.
Sunday or Tuesday, we'll be back in action. I'll be back tomorrow getting you ready for A's and the Angels right here on 95.7 The Game. That's going to do it for Warriors wrap up. The Warriors' continued drive for another title. It's going to be a lot of fun. You'll hear it all right here on 95.7 The Game. Have a great night, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.